You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, as you guys know, I am one of the hosts of the show, Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West, Indianapolis Community News, and the Fieldhouse. And today, it's over. The trade deadline has come and gone, and the Pacers did not do anything. We'll break down them doing nothing, and by we, I mean me. And then I'll look at some of the other moves around the league that kind of affect the Pacers in a small way, or even a big way, kind of in one case. And then last, we'll look at the Pelicans. They play the Raptors tonight, but no trades for either the Raptors or Pacers mean Wednesday's Raptors preview is not dated, so if you're here for Raptors content, go check out Wednesday's show with Sean Woodley of Locked On Raptors. It's fantastic stuff. Talk a little bit about Sabonis being in the skills challenge too there. But let's do it. Let's talk trade deadline stuff. It came and went with a pretty busy day around the league, but the Pacers end up doing nothing. And that's kind of what me and Adam had surmised most of this time. I think that always made the most sense, right? Their big addition in this time frame where all these teams are changing or whatever is Oladipo, and that doesn't sound great, and the team has needs, and I get why you'd want to cash in chips now. They're pretty good, but next year when Vic is fully integrated and they have an offseason to all work together, they'll be better. That is the time to really make your swing and see how good you are. You'll also at that point have an entire season of data about who fits with who. You'll have a playoff series or two to see this guy fits with this guy doesn't fit, this guy's not even good in the playoffs, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. So really, it makes way more sense to get to next season and then even the off season, not even next year, and cash in the chips then to make the move, to make this iteration of the Oladipo Brogdon Pacers as good as you can. So it always made sense to me that they wouldn't make a deal. Maybe something with TJ Leaf made a little bit of sense. You know, there were a lot of those, not a lot, that's a stretch, but there were a few of those trades today, right? The Mavericks, actually this was a few weeks ago, but the Mavericks traded a second round pick for Willie Cauley-Stein, right? Cauley-Stein's much better than Leaf, but like today, but those kind of minor moves happen all the time. Today, Derek Walton got traded from the Clippers to the Hawks so they could free up a roster spot, and they just sent some cash to the Hawks to take Walton, and then the Hawks just cut him. Or Scala BCA went from the Hawks to the went from the Trailblazers to the Hawks. Same thing, they got cash for Scal for their troubles, and they get a free player that they can take a shot at. It's just that kind of little stuff that I thought maybe would happen with TJ Leaf, because he has guaranteed money next year, and B, I kind of thought they might want to try to open a roster spot just maybe for another big, or maybe for a buyout guy at some other position that they like. And then, of course, J. Michael reporting that they were looking to find a new home for him and looking for that four who can play in space and really finalize their rotation as that break glass in case of emergency guy in the playoffs. Apparently that did not materialize because they did not make a move. And the trouble is, I'm guessing, and this makes sense to me, at this point in time, they probably were not willing to part with assets to move off of Leaf. And that makes sense to me. You know, they've talked about, and then by they, I mean the Kevin Pritchard, the front office, they've always talked about in press conferences, we are acquiring assets for the big move, and they're not acquiring assets to use them to get off of a first-round pick. Now, the pick was not good, right? Leaf was clearly the wrong guy. He probably does not have a future with this team, right? He's behind Jakarr Sampson in the rotation right now. He clearly is looking for a place where he can – well, not clearly. According to that article from J. Michael, they're trying to get him to a place where he can play more. Like, the fit between the two sides is over. The question is just when, and I don't know. I think they're going to try to find a deal that does not involve them. That does not involve them giving up an asset, or at least a bad one. Like maybe in the draft, in the coming draft night, when they're on the clock at whatever they end up at, 48 is their only pick or something like that. They'll use that pick and then maybe their future Jazz second rounder or their future Bucks second rounder or something, and leave, and then just dump it and then be like, they were done or something like that. To a cap space team, you know, maybe the Pistons, they just got cap space, maybe they'd be interested or something like that. But they couldn't get it, and that's fine. I mean, it's not a huge deal. If they really get desperate for, you know, that big man who can come in a pinch in the playoffs, they could just cut Alizé or something like that if they really felt like it was a huge need at the end of the roster. But I don't think they plan on doing that. You know, I think they've like the. I think that calculus goes into this trade stuff, right? If they really thought they needed that, they probably would have been more aggressive in the dealings of TJ Leaf. And to be fair, I don't know how aggressive they were or were not, but I would imagine that if they really thought they needed this player, this whatever, this big or this four who can play in space, they would have been more aggressive trying to get off Leaf, and they weren't. So he's the only guy that made any sense to trade. They did not trade him, and now they move forward with what they have. I always thought that this would be the most likely result of the trade deadline. I know it's not sexy or flashy, especially when they seem good and can get upgrades, but it makes the most sense to me. And next year will be a different story. Of course, it's always fluid, right? If the playoffs go awesome with this roster, maybe they're less likely to make a move. Or if they get swept in a horrible thing, maybe you really shake things up. You know, that kind of stuff is always subject to change. But I think right now we just kind of have to wait and see, which is the worst for people who love fake trades. I'm so happy the deadline's over so I can stop seeing all these horrible fake trades. But yeah, we get to move past that and see what this team can do in the stretch run and in the playoffs. I do not expect them to be in the buyout market as well, again, unless they cut Alizé, but we can talk about that at a later point in time when those are materializing. But that's all for the Pacers portion of the trade deadline proceedings. We can move on to look at other teams. But first, I want to tell you guys about the lovely people over at Calm. So I've talked about them before, but what they want to stress is that, you know, you talk about physical fitness a lot, especially as it shifts to the new year. People have physical fitness goals for their New Year's resolution, things like that. But no one really considers their mental fitness. And Calm wants to change that. They've teamed up with LeBron James to help train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that the mind is unlike any muscle in your body, and it can train your brain to help you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. LeBron says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. So if you go to calm.com/lockdownnba, you can get a 40% discount on a Calm premium membership. You can have access to all the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain or leaves, I think, are the two that he mentions as his favorites, and so much more. Sleep stories, meditations, all that kind of stuff. So for a limited time, hop on over to calm.com/lockdownnba to get a 40% discount and let them know that you came from us. So the Pacers were out, but that does not mean the trade deadline was boring. In fact, it got pretty crazy. You know, most execs were expecting a quiet deadline. That was what all the reporting said. And that didn't kind of, you know, none of the huge names got moved. The biggest name that got moved is Andre Drummond. And I didn't plan on starting with him, but I guess I will. So I would say, looking at canvassing all the trades that happened, I think the three that directly affect the Pacers this season, and this is one of them. So the Pistons traded Andre Drummond. I know Pistons people were really upset with this return. They got John Henson, Brandon Knight, two expiring contracts, and a not great second round pick. That does not seem like much for Andre Drummond. I agree that is not good, and the reporting is that they were really not enthused in Detroit about him opting into another season of $28 million, and they were kind of running in place. So they took this return to move on and have cap space in the summer. And they have a new front office. Maybe those guys can do what they want now with space and things like that. So we'll see. But Cavaliers have Drummond now to pair with Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson, kind of a pretty good front court duo. So how does this one affect the Pacers? Well, both teams are in their divisions. That's always a subtle thing just to see a shift happen there. But the big one is the Pacers play the Cavs two more times, and Drummond just absolutely destroys the Pacers. We've seen this time and time again. He averaged 22.5 points and 19 rebounds in the four games the Pistons had against the Pacers already this year. And now they play him two more times with Kevin Love. So that is an obvious effect on the Pacers, right? It makes those two games that were supposed to be not easy wins, but easier wins, harder. They lost the Cavs once already. They need to win those games. But if Drummond's going to be Drummond, that's going to be hard. So that's a pretty obvious one. And then, of course, the Pistons shifting their entire strategy for building. Merits discussing because they're in the division. But we can't really tell how that's going to change them until this summer. So we'll withhold judgment, but that could affect them come summertime. I might just run through every trade and see if it affects the Pacers in a way, because I haven't gone through these all. I just have three that I think affect them meaningfully. All right. The Hawks got Dwayne Dedmon and 2 second-round picks from the Kings in exchange for Jabari Parker and Alex Len. The Hawks get worse in the short term. So that, I mean, there isn't really a big deal, I guess, for the Pacers for that one. They do, I think, play the Hawks one more time this season. I might be wrong about that. But if they're worse, that's better, right? So we'll see. They might not play them again. They do not. Never mind. So that doesn't not matter at all. Next. Clippers got Marcus Morris and Isaiah Thomas, who they will waive in a big trade. The Wizards traded, got involved here, sent out IT and Isuf Sanone, or the draft rights to him, for Jerome Robinson. Well, the Clippers got Marcus Morris as well. And then the Knicks got Mo Harkless and a first-round pick from the Clippers and a second-round pick from the Pistons and a pick swap. So Knicks get a better rebuild, I guess, and the Wizards get a better player than Isaiah Thomas, but again, no direct Pacers effects. Rockets traded Bruno Caboclo with the Grizzlies for Jordan Bell. That is nothing. No effect there. All right, here's a big one. This is the biggest one. The Heat and the Grizzlies made a trade. The Heat got Andre Iguodala, Jay Crowder, and Solomon Hill. The Grizzlies got Justice Winslow, Gorgui Dieng, and Deion Waiters, and James Johnson went to the Timberwolves. The Heat got better in this deal. And I'm kind of into what Andre brings to really good teams. We've seen it with the Warriors. And he helps them on the wing quite a bit. He'll be firmly in their rotation, right? They're okay at the 3-4. Like, Duncan Robinson can really shoot. Derek Jones, who's more of a 2, but he can kind of score. Those guys are good. But Jimmy Butler, when he plays the 3, is obviously good. He plays some 2. But, like, Kelly Olynyk and Myers Leonard, like, those guys don't do a ton. So getting Iguodala, who can play big-time forward minutes for them, is huge. And then Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill are no slouches, right? They'll probably be on the back end of the rotation or maybe out. But, I mean, at worst, they're really good depth pieces. Like, to get all 3 of those guys, to give up Justice, who has barely played for them this year, and they've still been really good, that's a huge deal. And it's huge for the Pacers for 2 reasons. One is the Heat are the team currently right in front of the Pacers in the standings. They're at 4, Pacers are at 5. The Pacers are 3.5 games behind them right now. In the chase for a home court in the first round of the playoffs, they're going to be harder to catch now. I mean, they might be imminently worse because they have to acclimate these guys, and they got rid of 3 guys who have played for them this year. But at their peak, they're probably a little better for this. So that is a challenge. 2 is that I just said if the Pacers catch them, that's still the 4 and the 5 seeds, right? This could be the Pacers' first round opponent, strengthening their roster for the postseason. So that is another big factor here. And Andre has been awesome in the playoffs, especially for the Warriors. He has a finals MVP for them. So that is a big deal. That, I think, is the trade that affects the Pacers the most out of every trade made today, just because they saw an imminent contender get better. And it's so hard to see when your team is really good, your competitor get better, and you do nothing. But again, it makes more sense for the Pacers to do stuff next year. The Heat actually extended Iguodala. Still have him next year, too. That was some savvy stuff from them. Team option on the 3rd year, though, so not a long-term effect for them. But good move by the Heat. I think that's a good trade. And the Grizzlies, if Justice works out for them, could be good, too. It's a win-win. Gotta love those. But, yeah, the Heat got better, so the Pacers have to be worried about that. The Nuggets traded Jordan McRae to the Nuggets for Shabazz Napier. No effect on the Pacers. Okay, the 3rd one and final one that I think has a somewhat meaningful effect, right? So they play Drummond 2 more times. That's a small effect. They play Iguodala now. The Heat have Iguodala now and Will in the playoffs. That's a huge effect. Subtler one. Sixers doing stuff. I have a list of all the trades in front of me, and their other trade is 3 down, so I'm going to loop this onto one. They traded for Alec Burks and GR3, former Pacers man GR3, from the Warriors for 3 second-round picks, and they had to clear 2 roster spots to get those guys. So they cut Trey Burke. Just waived them, and they traded James Ennis to the Orlando Magic for the Lakers' 2020 second-rounder coming up. So probably one of the worst 3 second-rounders. So they basically gave him away. So Ennis has played in 49 of 51 games for them. He's played like 12 to 15 minutes per game. It's not much. He's been pretty inconsistent and shaky for them. And Burke has played in under half their games. Their bench is horrible. Like, horrible. Outside of Thybulle and Furkan Korkmaz, like, they have gotten nothing, basically, from their bench. So to get Burks and GR3, who will have reduced roles, obviously, they're not going to put up the 16 points and 12 points they put up with Golden State, but 2 guys who can score pretty well and shoot pretty well is really, really big-time subtlety moves from the Sixers, who are the team immediately behind the Pacers in the standings, right? They're a half game back. They lost the Bucks tonight without those guys yet. So that's a big deal. It's going to be harder for the Pacers to hold them off, but, I mean, Vic is a bigger addition than those guys, so I think the Pacers got better. Got more better than the Sixers. That was a horrible sentence, but that's a big deal that they were able to shore up their bench with not just just junk players. And Ennis, but you know, Ennis is no slouch. Like, getting rid of him does hurt. GR3 and Burks are better, though. So it's just a little weird. They got a little worse with the cutting of Burke and trading of Ennis, but the two guys they got helped them get a lot better. So the two teams flanking the Pacers in the standings between Philly and Miami, both getting better, which, again, hard to see and exercise patience, but you got to remember, next year's the year. So we'll see. Hawks, those two trades I talked about where they got Walton and LeBCA for cash are back-to-back here. Timberwolves got D'Angelo Russell. What a trade. They acquired D'Angelo Russell, Omari Spellman, and Jacob Evans for Andrew Wiggins, a first-round pick and a second-round pick. Crazy stuff going on there. Two Western Conference teams, not the biggest effect on the Pacers. Timberwolves have a better rebuild now. Warriors got some assets to potentially make their team better when they're all healthy again. So if the Pacers can reach the finals, maybe they'll play the Warriors in 2021 or something now that they have these assets. I don't know. Wiggins does not fit well with a Curry, Clay, Draymond team. But huge deal. Probably does not affect the Pacers very much. All Western Conference. The last big trade, the 12-player four-teamer, only involving one Eastern Conference team, the Atlanta Hawks. They got Clint Capella. And again, since the Pacers, we figured out on this show, do not play them again this year. Not a huge deal, although Capella's pretty good. He'll help that team get better a lot faster, sending great screens for Trae Young. But they also sent away some stuff. I think they sent away the Nets' 2020 first-round pick to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So Minnesota made a ton of moves. The Rockets got Robert Covington. They'll be real good now, although they don't have a center yet. And the Nuggets got some assets. So a lot of interesting win-win deals with three moves that really affect the Pacers, and then I guess the Hawks kind of move their timeline around. But we'll see how the Sixers and Heat do with their new guys. It should be interesting, and the Pacers, I mean, we have some hope. They played pretty well for 45 out of 48 minutes against the Raptors, right? So if they can carry that forward, that would be huge right now. Their big acquisition, Vic, is helping them win games. So that, hang your hat on that and look forward to potentially, for those of you that love trades so much, you cannot stop from sending me three in a day. Hopefully you'll have all your shake next year and all your fun. But I'm happy it's over. I can relax now for once and stop worrying about any trade happening while I'm doing something else. So that's all for trades, folks. Dust off your hands. Get ready for four more games than the All-Star break. And one of those games is against Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. So let's take a break and talk about that team. So night two of the back-to-back here against the Pelicans. It's going to be an interesting one. Zion in the house, obviously. The thing that is hard to know right now is the official injury report that's out at the time I'm recording this has Victor Oladipo as questionable with rest. And that's interesting because, I mean, it's weird that they would put him on there as questionable with rest. Like, they know, the Pacers know, obviously, which of the two games he's going to play. They just haven't announced it yet. So he could play against the Pels, he could play against the Raptors. I don't know. If it was me, he should play against the Raptors, the team they're chasing in the standings, and then rest the second night. But I guess maybe they say, okay, we'd rather have him on 3 days of rest than two. I don't know what their decision is based in or anything like that. So we'll see. But he could be not playing against the Pelicans. It's weird that he would be questionable for rest. Like, you should be out for rest or in and not rest, whatever. So the Pelicans beat the Pacers pretty handily on a back-to-back earlier in the year. However, no Oladipo in that game. No Malcolm Brogdon in that game. And I think, looking at the bench, maybe someone else was out because Sumner played 7 minutes. They got blown out and had those guys in. But Goga played 7 minutes. Sumner played 7 minutes. Alize played three. TJ Leaf played three. Weird game. They got smoked in this game. I mean, they just got wrecked on the court. The Pelicans looked substantially better. Jrue Holiday had a nice game. Brandon Ingram had a nice game. Derek Favors had a nice game. Etuan Moore had a pretty nice game. Like, that kind of stuff, you got to be better to beat them. And now they have Zion, who's amazing. They just, a few moments ago, did beat the Bulls. And the Bulls outscored them by 16 in the fourth quarter, and they still won. So the Pelicans are actually a solid-ish basketball team of late. They have an all-star in Ingram, who he's the guy to focus on before we get to Zion. Ingram is just balling. Like, I knew he... Like, he was fine with the Lakers, but he was never this, and I did not think he would ever reach this level. Maybe I'm naive, but it took him 4 years to get it, but he's there 25 points per game this year over that, actually, on only 18 shots, shooting 40% from deep. So sparkling efficiency from this guy, and he can do it 60% true shooting. He can do it off the dribble. He can spot up and hit a three. He's pretty good in the mid-range. Like, he's just a very smooth operating scorer. And to have that guy come from Brandon Ingram, like, I don't think the Pelicans thought they would get that level of guy in the AD trade at all. And they already have it. Like, the first guy. So that's huge for them. And he's going to be a hard contain for the Pacers, especially if TJ Warren is not able to go. He's questionable against the Raptors right now, which is encouraging. Maybe he can go on the second night of the two, but you never really know. But the trouble with the Pels now, right? So Ingram, as good as he is, 4 assists per game too, right? He can play McClubbe. As good as he is, if you shut him down, you have to deal with either Jrue Holiday or Zion Williamson, who are just also insane players. So let's get to Jrue next. Did not get traded, despite some reporters saying there's a chance if they get blown away by an offer. But Jrue, 19 points a game, 6 assists, incredible, tenacious, speedy defender, right? All up in your face. I believe he was all defense one of these years. I can't remember for the life of me, although maybe it's just I see a lot of people saying he should be all defense. Ah, 2-time all defense. Good. I'm not crazy. So he's all up in the grill of whoever he's on. I'm guessing he'll be on Oladipo, and that's a tough matchup for Vic, right? Drew's really good. It's going to be hard for Vic to create as much separation as he can against a lot of other guys. So good screens are going to be imperative for Vic to be able to get around him easily, maybe force some switches because, I mean, Zion's obviously a pretty good switcher. He's speedy and stuff, but, you know, there are other centers, Derek Favors, Jackson Hayes. Got some length in Hayes, but not enough speed to keep up with him. So screening going to be super important in this game. But Zion, yeah, he can defend out in space, and he can be the best offensive rebounder of my lifetime, possibly, and he's a super efficient scorer, and I know he's really hyped up, and you're really tired of seeing him on social media, and I apologize for talking about him like this, but he is just phenomenal at basketball. For those of you that this will be the first time you're watching him, you're in for an absolute treat. Per 36 minutes right now, Zion Williamson, who for some reason is evading my mouse, there we go, averaging 26 points and 10.6 rebounds, which is just crazy numbers, on 18.4 shots per 36 minutes. So he's been really good at on the offensive glass specifically. I just said his total rebounds at 4.7 offensive rebounds per 36 minutes. What a lot of people are highlighting, and correctly, is his second jump, right? He'll miss and then immediately grab his own shot and score. It's very impressive. He's really good off the dribble and around the back. He's just ridiculously good. You'll see. So they have three between Zion, Jrue, and Brandon Ingram, guys who are really good scorers, and then they couple that with, like, Lonzo Ball can create a little bit, and he's a good defender and rebounder, and Josh Hart has a reputation as a good shooter, so he helps space the floor, and obviously J.J. Redick is a good shooter, and Etuan Moore is a good scorer. Like, they have a lot of really dangerous pieces to be a good offensive team, and Derek Favors and Green means they're an okay defensive team. So the Pels are pretty dangerous. They're a lot better than their record now that Zion's playing. And I think they're better. You know, they're 16th in offense and 22nd in defense. I think they're probably a hair better than both of those numbers in general, which indicates like a slightly below 500 team. So 20 and 31 is a terrible indication of how good they are. And this will be a tough game for the Pacers. I mean, there's a reason the Pelicans beat them by 22 already without Zion. So I think this will be a tough game on night two of a back-to-back. But I think the Pacers are going to win one of these two games. I mean, they should have really beat the Raptors last time. They just totally gave that game away. I think they're going to come out fired up to beat them on Friday. And if they're able to win both games, that would be huge. That would get them back to 3-3 since Vic's return and kind of calm down some people who are worried that things are going poorly when, I mean, they're really going through growing pains and they had some horrible shooting performances. So I think they'll win one of the two, maybe both. We will see. A lot of people make fun of me for being wrong a lot. Understood. But you know what? We're going to see how it goes. I think they're going to beat the Raptors and then lose a close one to the Pelicans. But again, we will see. I hope you guys had a great week and enjoyed all the fun rumblings of the trade deadline, since that's everybody's favorite thing. And if that's not you, I'm sorry. I'm not making fun of you. These games will be fun. Get to see the Pacers against some of the brightest players and stars and coaches in the league. It's going to be awesome. We'll be back Monday to recap everything that happened this past week and look ahead at the All-Star break and all that stuff. So stick around for that. Don't forget to check out Calm. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week.